how do I want to feel? And I want to feel like I like took full advantage of life. It's going to make me tear up. But I want to feel like I took full advantage and like I didn't leave anything. And not in a way that like I'm trying to take advantage of the world. That's not it. It's just like I want to know that I lived fully and that I did everything I could and I put out every ounce of energy I could into anything I was doing.
Hey there. Welcome to Lessons in Creativity, where we'll explore the creative process across different disciplines and learn how to harness this natural part of our human experience. I'm Jenna Massey, your fellow student and host. In this episode, I spoke with Amanda Pena, a content strategist and creator. Amanda has been writing and creating content for most of her adult life. Her most recent project was an Instagram community called The Rules of 30, aimed at personal development for women in their 30s. In this episode, you'll hear Amanda talk about starting personal projects, honing her ability to listen to her gut, and making a challenging decision to pivot. Hope you enjoy our conversation. Just FYI, we had a slight recording mishap about midway through this episode. My apologies. We'll make sure not to do that next time. Thanks for your forgiveness.
Thanks so much for being on the podcast. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
So to start, I wanted to take you back to your childhood, Amanda, age 7, 8, 9. In what ways did creativity show up then?
I love that. I think creativity when I was younger showed up as a lot of angst. And I think that when I was a kid, and, you know, like many children, you kind of feel silenced by your parents and what you can't do and what you can do, and feel very, a lot of rules that feel very threatening. So my version of creativity when I was a kid was a lot of like speaking out, talking back, but not in a way that was necessarily disrespectful, in a way that was just curious, like, why do we have to do that? Mm. And what is this? And where are we going? And I think that then translated into writing when I entered like middle school, and I started to write a lot, and that writing came out a lot of like creative writing, like, a little girl who maybe, you know, had a dream and she escaped to like Never Never Land. And this is what she thought of. And these are the people she met. And this is the journey she went on. I remember one of my first short stories I wrote when I was in eighth grade. And one of my favorite teachers was telling me, you know, just write one page like of a short story, and I ended up writing like 5 pages. And she was like, this is one of the best short stories I've ever read, but please keep it to one page. But in the story, I actually still have it. I have like a memory box where I keep like just old writings. And I was reading it and I was just reflecting on it. And I was like, wow, I wrote that in eighth grade. And it was very much like me like escaping in a sense. Uh-huh. It kind of went from angst to channeling that into a lot of writing and creative freedom. And how I express myself. And for me, it's always been writing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think angst turned writing.
Yeah, no, that's so interesting. I definitely see this little fiery, like quiet, yes, fiery part of your personality.
Right.
Which I love that comes out in, that you're able to channel that into like creative writing.
Yeah.
That's so interesting growing up.
And I think too, you saying that made me think of something like, because in my family, I kind of grew up in a very strict household, and you couldn't really lash out. Mm-hmm. And so writing was a way of me like quietly, like releasing my thoughts, mm-hmm, instead of like releasing them on people or anything like that. And this is not to say I grew up in a horrible household. I had wonderful parents, but I just grew up in a very strict household, and I am grateful for that years later. I understand why. But I do think that writing was a means of escape for me, mm-hmm, and also a way for me to just have thoughts to myself that, yeah, I didn't have to share with anybody. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone has ever, you know, read any of my short stories, but I have all of them. Yeah. And I can remember what I was feeling at that time and why I wrote those things. Right. Like I can reflect on it. So
yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So then in adulthood, like how did this creative expression continue, and what, like, were you continuing to write? Talk a little bit about how that translated into like early adulthood.
Yeah. I very much continue to write. I remember when I was like in my early 20s, a huge dream of mine is to become a New York Times bestselling author. And in my early 20s, I wanted to write a book, a nonfiction book based on the story of me and my mother. We're very close, mm-hmm, and we have a really special bond. I equate it to like Gilmore Girls, like we're essentially Lorelai and Rory. And I wanted to write, you know, a kind of a memoir based on our story, but turn it nonfiction to protect the peace of other people. And so I took a book writing course actually for about, I took some time off from work and I took this like, intensive book writing course.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was actually one of my favorite things I've done. Invested in this course with this author, that I really admired. And, yeah, other women were also very interested in writing memoirs about their lives.
Wow.
And how do they do it? And how do you put a book together? And how do you contact publishers and all the stuff? It was a great course.
Yeah.
And, you know, that led to all these different sorts of series of events. And I still have like the framework of it, still think it's a book I want to put out someday. But
wow.
It definitely has, writing has always been a big part of my life, whether it's been like, you know, writing short stories when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I even started my first book when I was like, it's like seventh or eighth grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then in eighth grade, you know, started writing short stories, you know, was always writing when I was in high school and college too. Whether that came out as like Instagram captions or mm-hmm. blogs, I've had like 5 blogs in my lifetime, all based on different parts of my life. Whether it was, one of my first blogs I wrote when I was like, I think 20,
mm-hmm.
and I had my first internship, and I was writing about like, is this all we're meant to do, work?
Mm-hmm.
And I was writing about like how you, this like very weird entry into adulthood where I was still in college and felt like a kid still.
Yeah.
But then I started interning in New York, and mm-hmm. then I was like, this feels so adult of me, but I'm not mentally prepared.
Right.
And I was like, is this what I'm going to do for the next 40 years? Like, just do this every day? And I was writing about it. And the funniest part is that I was writing about it at my desk at the internship I was at. Definitely not good use of my time. But yeah, writing has always been a very big part of my life. And it always will be. I think it's just like my way of very much expressing my thoughts that feels very safe for
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm. And processing really what you're going yes, through, it sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that is a good segue to talk about Rules of 30.
Yes.
So you recently started this mm-hmm. personal project last year. So I would love to, you know, just hear, tell us about what Rules of 30 was, how it started, and just the origins.
Yeah. That was, I mean, I think that's one of my, if not my proudest project to date. And I think what's so interesting about it is I went into it with really no expectations. And mm-hmm. I think that sometimes that's some of the more beautiful projects or things we get to work on.
Yeah.
I mean, in anything, relationships that we have,
right.
experiences, jobs. And it really just started as a way of me expressing my thoughts, again, going into writing, really.
Yeah.
Expressing my thoughts around women and the fear of turning 30 and not having accomplished certain things that society wants us to accomplish by 30.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them being or surrounding, you know, marriage and children.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, you know, I had not thought about those things in my 20s. And then I hit my 30s and I was like, oh my God, like, I don't understand what's happening. Why do I feel this? I'm actually very happy in my life. I have a great career. I have great friends. I have great family. I have good health. You know, I'm excited for the future, but something was just nagging at me that I was too old, that I was never going to get married, that I wasn't going to have children. And I felt like there was so much emphasis on that.
Mm-hmm.
And really, again, it just started as a personal blog. It was, yeah. I'd love to share my thoughts. I think other women might feel this way. And if I can help other women not feel like they are behind, but feel like, wow, we're entering this really wonderful decade where there's still so much time.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to say we're still so young. Like, I don't like even using the word young or youth.
Mm-hmm.
There's just time. And I think there's time in any decade. And so it blew up so quickly. And, you know, a lot of times when people ask, like, what happened, how did it blow up? And I really think it's because it struck a nerve.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there were so many people, men and women, when it first started, you know, trending, getting really popular, getting like 1,000 followers per day, who would message me and be like, you know, I haven't seen anything like this on Instagram. And it's so great that you're talking about this. I feel the same exact way. I'm 35. I'm 33. I'm 37. I mean, I even had 40-somethings message me and be like, I still don't know what I'm doing with my life. Mm-hmm. And it just gave me, for what I loved about it was, you know, there were times when, like, I just didn't know what to do with the account. Mm-hmm. And, but at the same time, it just filled me with a lot of, like, peace, knowing that I wasn't alone.
Yeah.
And then it also gave me so much purpose to give others that sort of peace, to tell them they are not alone. And you could see it through comments that people would share. You know, there were so many people that, you know, would message me and say, like, oh, I saw another person comment and say that they also felt that way. It made me feel not alone. Mm-hmm. This is to wrap up and say that it was a project that I just started, again, as a personal blog. Another personal blog of mine, yeah. Maybe my sixth one in my whole life at this point. And again, no expectations from it. It was really just to make people not feel so lonely. And it started becoming a really big passion project and still something that I feel it's on pause at the moment. Not quite sure what to do with it yet, or if it'll ever be something that I do with. But in general, I feel still very passionate about the topic of women and getting older. And I'm putting in air quotes right now, and getting older and the fear of that. And how do we, you know, transform these conversations from fear to empowerment?
Mm-hmm. What's so interesting to me is, like, Rules of 30 obviously blew up, like, has 150,000 followers or more. But it wasn't your first blog. And I think that's such a great lesson for, like, any creative.
Yeah.
For people that are learning an instrument, that are learning, you know, learning to write. You know, you've been doing this for your whole life, essentially. And that's really what helped contribute to the success of this. Like, those were all practice points for this.
100%.
And this could even be a practice point for whatever's next.
It's so true. I mean, and I think that's why I really went into it with such, not, I wouldn't say low expectations, but mm-hmm. not very high expectations, because I was like, I've done this before.
Right.
And this is just fun. And I know how to do it. And I'm not fearful of putting my thoughts out there because I've done it so many times before.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's a great point about, you know, just getting reps in and just putting yourself out there multiple times. And it gets to a point where you're just so comfortable with sharing that something has got to take off. Like, right. I'm a big believer in, like, just, like, the more you throw at the wall, like, something is going to stick.
Yeah.
Obviously, being strategic about it. But at the same time, in the beginning, you don't know what you're doing. I've had so many different blogs. I had a financial blog. Mm-hmm. I had a blog about, it was called, like, All Children But One Grow Up. Mm. And it was all about, like, Peter Pan and, like, how he was the only one who'd never grew up and everybody had to move on. And mm-hmm. that was what I felt like. It was like, I felt like everyone was moving on in their adult lives. And I was like, I want to be a kid still. Mm-hmm. So it's all about, like, the transition from, like, college to adulthood. And my point is to say is there have been so many projects, and I don't mean to sound cocky, but, like, when the Rules of 30 did take off, I kind of was also not surprised because I was like, well, if you try 100 times, like, something's gotta work. Yeah.
Wow. Really interesting. So you mentioned that it's on pause now. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Like, what was the decision to pause for now?
Yeah. I think it's also, I mean, what you were talking about before, it's just, I've tried a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And I think that while the Rules of 30 was such a great adventure, it was so amazing connecting with other women. So amazing learning how to build a social media account. Mm-hmm. I've learned so much about, you know, Instagram's algorithm. I've learned so much about reels and content creation and what it takes to be a content creator. And I have to say, like, I give so much kudos to content creators who do this full time and put out so much content, every day, if not every week of their lives. I wouldn't even say it was, like, one thing that led to me moving on from the project. I just kind of felt like I was ready for something different. Mm-hmm. Again, still feel very passionate about the topic of women and age. And it's something I still talk about in my everyday life and still feel deeply and know that it will influence my next project. But, and maybe this is me just not knowing how to commit to a project yet. But, and we were just talking about this before we started recording. There was just something in my gut that was telling me, you know, I think there's something else. I think that this not necessarily has run its course. I don't think the conversation has run its course.
Yeah.
I don't think this topic has run its course. I just think my time with the account has run its course. And I'd like to start thinking about my next step. And I don't know what that is yet, but I have a lot of confidence that I will figure it out because I've done it before. So, and again, I'm also a big believer in like, you can always circle back.
Yeah.
Like, you can always come back to, you know, many situations in life, not all, but many. And I'm always like, it will be there. That conversation will be there for a very long time. And so this isn't to say it's necessarily over. It's to say I'm looking for the next thing that may play off of, you know, what happened with the Rules of 30.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
When you said, you know, you're listening to your gut and your intuition to pivot for now from the Rules of 30, you're incredibly good at, like, when you do make a decision from your gut and other people come in and tell you something like, what, how could you possibly do that? What, why would you do that? You're going to lose this. Like, I feel like you're very good at not letting them sway you. How did you get good at that? And how do you do that?
I think it's, I trust like my own body and signals from my body. And just like, I also, you know, I think deeply and I write mm-hmm, a lot. Mm-hmm. And so like, I trust that like when I can sit with myself, like I know me better than anyone. Mm-hmm. And like, I think it's also, when you really want to honor yourself, like mm-hmm. you listen to yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that I've really worked on in my 30s, especially as a woman who's not married, doesn't have children.
Yeah.
Is like, right. Oh my God, like, you know, everybody can start telling you, you should be doing this. You should be doing this at 30 something. And I think that, how I've been able to honor myself is like very much sitting with myself and being like, you've got this. Like yeah. You have gotten to this point for a reason and you can trust yourself. And you know yourself and you know you better than anyone. Like mm-hmm. no one knows me better than me. Mm-hmm. And I am my own best friend. Like I talk to myself in the mirror. I hug myself like actually physically if I'm like crying or I feel a certain way. And like I think that that has always led to I know other people may have the best interests for me and I know that they are looking out for me. But I know what's right for me.
Yeah.
And I think learning how to sit with yourself and sit with yourself in silence. And whether it's like meditating out loud, praying out loud, like those are all things I do that has helped me kind of block out other people's opinions.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work. Like I right, love feedback. That's not to say I don't take feedback. I don't value people's opinions. I don't want to get better. But I also know at the end of the day, like it's me and me.
Yeah.
And
well, and there's a real power in that because like being your friend, I've seen that in you and you know, when you make a decision, like I know it's from a place of like deep thinking and a deep gut feeling.
Yeah.
And so I'm less likely to be like, wait, but have you thought about this or that? Or, you know, because I know that there's reasoning behind it and there's like, you have thought about it, of course.
Yeah. And it's funny, like my mom all the time says, like, sometimes when I make decisions and then like, let's say they don't work out and she'll be like, you know, she won't say, I told you so, but she'll be like, well, you know, I wanted to say that, you know, maybe you shouldn't have done that. And I'm like, why didn't you say that? And she's like, 'cause I know you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You have to go through with something and let it fail or succeed.
Yeah.
Because I know that I can't influence you. And that's how she was like, I know that that's how you like learning. And it's true. Whether or not that's very bullish or like, mm-hmm. I'm very stubborn that way. I just trust that even if it doesn't work out, I'll figure it out. Like I really have this. And again, this is only with age and this is how I know it will only get better with age. It's just like, I have this very trusting feeling in myself. Like, oh, we've got this, like we will figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like you and me, kid, like, we're in it. Like no matter what happens, I've got you.
Yeah.
And so I think like that has also made me very confident in decision-making is like, whatever happens, we'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. I just trust myself that way. And I think like just to, you know, women listening and, you know, for anybody, it's like, I think that's one of the most powerful things a woman can have is like very much trusting her ability to do whatever she wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has really been a game changer for me just in life is like loving me and like, which has taken so long.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
long, and it's still a daily battle.
But, yeah.
Loving me and very much trusting that, like,
we can do this moving forward, and that like I've got your back. And I just never thought like in my like, you know, adulthood that I'd ever look at me as my own best friend. Mm-hmm. And then I'd actually like me. And like I'm like, oh yeah, you're cool. Like sometimes you like fuck up a little bit, but like, you know, you're like pretty cool, and like I wanna like help you, and like I wanna see you succeed, and like, I trust what you're doing. Like,
yeah.
I trust it.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
There's something interesting about like your identity and the separation of who you are with what you create. To me, like observing you, there's certain things that are like innately in you that you have confidence in, that you know, I am a writer. You are not attached to the thing that you put out in the world, which is so powerful because it's so easy to get attached to that.
Yes. You know, I actually never thought about it that way, but you're right. And that like, I think it's also, I think something that like I've always thought about is like, sometimes I feel like I'm a jack of all trades, mm-hmm. and jobs I've had, mm-hmm. and like, in a way, I'm kind of a chameleon that way. But I also think it can apply to, you're right, not getting very attached to, I think what it is I've been able to not always get attached to the outcome of projects.
Yeah.
And just knowing that like the journey is actually the most fun part and the most rewarding part and the most educational part. I have learned so much about myself through the Rules of 30. I've learned so much about myself when I was taking that book writing course when in my early 20s. I've learned so much about myself when I was at a job. When I've launched so many different blogs, when I've, taken so many different courses, like the end was actually sometimes the saddest part, not because even if I didn't even reach the destination that I thought I was going to reach, I actually think like the starting it, the building it, the like, I remember in the Rules of 30 when it first started happening and I was like, oh my God, I'm going to buy this like piece of equipment for, you know, I'm going to buy a tripod. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to buy like a mic. I'm going mm-hmm. like, that was the most exciting part about it. And then what was also really exciting too, was just like getting better at every reel. Like yeah. I loved looking back at my first reel and then looking at my 60th reel and being like, wow, what a difference.
Yeah.
I was never thinking about like 5 years from now, what will my reels look like? It was just like, wow, the first and 60th reel. That's so cool. Like seeing that progress is awesome. So, you know, I think that's like, and that's very hard. I'm not saying I've mastered it or anything. And I think it's hard for anybody to not get attached to the outcome when you do put something out there. Like you want recognition, you want right. people to acknowledge all the work you've put into something. But I also think some of my favorite projects have been the ones that like five people noticed. Like when I put out my first financial blog, I was starting to get into like financial freedom. I was like just learning about like investing mm-hmm. and started a newsletter, launched it on my Instagram with like 250 followers. And I was posting it to stories. Like I just wrote about how, you know, I paid off half my student loans and this is how I did it. And like five people signed up for it, like my mom included. Like, but I was so excited like to see, and that will always be a really special project. So, you know, not getting so attached with the outcome and really being inspired by the journey, I think is one of the most fun parts of starting anything.
Yeah.
You know, even in relationships, a mm-hmm. job you start, mm-hmm. you know, a place you travel to. It's a journey.
The practice and the
yeah. process. Like, right. I'm obsessed with the process.
Yeah.
I think the process and then watching yourself grow through the process and like really being like staying deep, like, you know, like sitting in that, like being very intentional about growing through the process is... It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. Just a mm-hmm. ton of fun.
Mm-hmm. How do you get started though? Because the starting point for someone who is a perfectionist or has like brings that like perfectionist mindset, like how do you turn that off to really deal with like your inner critic there, putting something out there into the world?
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of it is reps, but if we take a step back from reps, I think for me, and I don't know if this was like anyone's story, but I remember one time, this was actually a few months before I started the Rules of 30. I really wanted to start putting myself out there on Instagram and starting something separate from like my personal account, which is like friends and family. Mm-hmm. And I was like, but I'm so embarrassed. What do I do? And I was watching this woman that I follow on Instagram, and she had maybe like 2,000 followers, which is still a good following. And I was getting really jealous of her mm-hmm. and she was like showing up on Instagram. She was like, she was a yoga teacher and was showing her practice, was showing her day, you know, what she ate for breakfast, like, you know, different yoga meditations that she was teaching and things like that. And I found myself getting so jealous of her. And I was like, and I remember I took a step back and I was like, Amanda, why are you so jealous of her? Like, what is going on? Like, you're no better than her. She's no better than you. Like, where is this coming from? And it was like, I was so jealous of the fact that she was just putting herself out there. Mm-hmm. Like, she didn't care that she had 2,000 followers, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
She wasn't looking for like big fame. Like, she was just felt so comfortable with herself and was like, just really being confident in how she put herself out there in the world. And I was like, wait, maybe I won't feel so jealous if I just do that. Like, if I just can look like a fool too.
Wow.
And she didn't look like a fool, but you know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe if I just release the fact that everyone is just trying, like everyone is trying. And if I let go of that, maybe I can start something. And that's literally what happened. Like, I just started posting and shared like a really deep thought as my first reel. And like, it really took off from there. So I think that, for me, like, it was like feelings of like jealousy, and that turned into, I guess, inspiration in a sense.
Yeah. That's amazing that you're able to do that introspection, look deeper into the jealousy, and then, you know, turn it into this incredible action.
Yeah, it was, thank you. I think it was just like also like FOMO. Like, I was just like, I don't want to, I don't know. I don't want to live this life knowing I didn't like put myself up to bat.
Yeah.
Like,
try.
Yeah. I didn't just try.
Right.
And I think too, like my, The Man in the Arena is like one of my favorite writings of all time. My mom gave it to me, I mean, so many years ago, and had it framed for me, and it's still on my desk. And I think to me, like, I'd rather put myself out there, look so stupid, so not stupid, I don't like the word stupid, but look so foolish, right, or just embarrass myself. I would rather go up to bat, fail, go up to bat again, fail, and fail time and time again, than being so scared to actually go up to bat. Like, that to me seems like failure.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of truly how I live my life, is like just shooting my shot wherever I can. And even if it doesn't work out, like, I learned something.
Right.
And I just, you know, at the end of The Man in the Arena, there's like a line that's like, I don't, you know, he doesn't want to be with like the timid souls who like never tried. Like, he would rather like fail and be defeated than ever like kind of like, you know, be with that crowd in a sense. And I think that's truly like how I live my life, is like, I don't want any regret that I didn't put myself out there for something that I maybe wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you apply that to anything in life, like, you'll get what you want. You'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big believer in just like, if you keep going up to bat, like, it will happen. It just has to. It's just like the laws of the universe, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's really inspiring. No, it's incredible. I mean, I think you're such a great example of that. And it's, yeah, like, it's not easy, right? Like, and especially dealing with your own internal criticism, external criticism, you really are exposing yourself a lot, and talking about a very vulnerable topic. So it's a lot to be proud of.
Thank you. And I just, the only thing I want to add to that is, one of my favorite books, I think, Leveraging the Universe by Mike Dooley. It's one of my favorite personal development books, and it's just all about like, and I think what triggered it is you saying exposure. And in the book, he doesn't necessarily use that word, but you using that word makes me realize, like, the book is all about exposure. It's like, the more you just like show the universe, and whatever belief system you believe in, God, the universe, whatever it is, like, the more that you just show them, like, I'm willing to put myself out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm willing to fail. Like, it has to reward you.
Yeah.
And like, you're just like, it's just like, you're showing yourself every single time. Like, so.
Yeah. Yeah. It's having that, like, positive faith too, or hope that, like, oh, if I do something, like, it's that belief, right?
It's
looking
belief.
For the positive versus the like cringeworthy aspect.
Right,
of it.
Exactly.
That's actually really helpful. I mean, a lot of this is, you know, just lessons that are helpful for me, for people that are trying to start something. And it's sometimes even just different framing of, oh, look for the positive versus focusing on like all the things that are cringeworthy and imperfect about what you're doing. Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to ask you is,
And you alluded to this a little bit. There's often this concept in art creation, great artists steal, where you've kind of looked at what other people are doing and learned a lot from them, and then start with maybe mimicking, mm-hmm. and then move into like making it your own. So I'm curious, like, who you look up to and who have you admired what they're doing, and what have you learned from them?
Yeah. I think the Rules of 30 is so interesting, and I refer to it because it's just like kind of my project that got the most visibility, mm-hmm. in a sense. And a lot of it has to do with my belief in the strength of women. Mm. And I will always believe that. And I mean, many of us do, but I think that when I've looked at just role models of my life, they've always been very powerful, outspoken, strong women. So whether that is like Sally Krawcheck or Oprah or Michelle Obama, mm-hmm. You know, women politicians, you know, I think that those have always been people that I've deeply admired, mm-hmm. And many different ways, right? Like some of them have nothing in common besides the fact that they are powerful, influential, outspoken women who are making great strides in their, you know, areas of expertise. And I think that I've always wanted that. Like I've always wanted, and it sounds like power hungry, but that's not it. I think I've just always wanted to be heard.
Yeah.
And I think that started from when I was a little kid. Like I just felt very kind of silenced.
Right.
So it came out through writing. But then I kind of thought to myself, well, you know, I love writing. I will always do it. But it sometimes felt like it was still a way of not, it wasn't enough exposure for me.
Mm-hmm.
I still wanted to be front and center. And I think that the Rules of 30 allowed me that because I got to be on camera, which was terrifying for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's funny. I remember when I first got on to the Rules of 30 and I was just creating reels that had like a lot of like background imagery, and it wasn't me front facing. And I was talking to my mom about it, and she was just like, you know, if you really want this to work, like you're going to have to put yourself on camera.
Mm.
And I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I was like, this is so embarrassing. And then it started to take off, and I was like, oh my God, I'm getting all these followers, and I'm going to have to put my face on camera and talk to it. And then I was like, well, if you want to be like powerful, if you want to be those women that you admire, if you want to be Oprah, if you want to be Michelle Obama, if you want to be Sally, like you have to put your face out there, and it's going to be hard, but you're gonna have to do it. And I just remember like, it's so funny. I still have the video, on my phone, and I set it up like on my like little coffee table, and I was like, just talking to it. And I was like, this is so awkward. This is so awkward. I was like, I hate this. This is so bad. And I was like, and I have to do this and share this. And it's like me like actually having like a mental breakdown on video. And then I was like, I cut it. And then I was like, okay, and like write your script and did it. And now like, I'm like, oh yeah, I can put out a video on camera. Like no big deal.
Yeah.
And I think like that was the thing, is just I've always wanted to be seen and heard.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to have influence in a very positive way. This isn't like a power hungry way.
Right.
I just have always wanted to have influence. I've always thought like I have something good to share, and I like to share it. And I think it can be life changing for people, for, you know, people who might resonate with this. And I think always, you know, following so many women, especially my mother, who was very outspoken, very powerful, very smart. I think having influences like that in your life inspire you to kind of become a specific person. And to me, it was like always, I wanted a lot of visibility that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because I also felt like, too, I was like, well, other people are getting visibility. Why not me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that was the other part of it. It was kind of going back to that jealousy story where it was just like, I don't need to be jealous of those people who are getting visibility.
Yeah, I can do it.
I can do it. Like, they're in their own lane.
Right.
Let them. Like, great.
Yeah.
Like, I can do it, too. And, like, if I can do it, too, I can do it, too, because I'm willing to put myself out there just like they are.
Yeah.
And
And push through that fear. You're describing being so afraid and yet doing it anyway.
And doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
That is, wow. What do you think has been the biggest surprise since starting Rules of 30 specifically? What have you learned either about yourself or about your audience?
I never thought how much I liked to lead.
Mm, yeah.
You know, and I think that's kind of where I see my next step is like, how do I turn this into some sort of like leadership opportunity. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it goes back to having influence that way in a really positive way. And I've always wanted to help people. That's always been at the forefront of purpose for me and fulfillment mm-hmm. for me. And the Rules of 30 really gave me that. And then it gave me a platform. And I was like, wow, like, this is amazing. Like, I love leading. I love having my voice out there. I love helping people. Mm-hmm. I love talking to people. I love having like deep conversations with people over like Instagram messages that live in India or London or, you know, so many different places, mm-hmm. LA. And, I think what it really gave me was like a lot of confidence yeah. in myself as a woman, but also a lot of confidence in my voice.
Yeah.
You know, I started so many projects and I've been proud of each one. But you know, to see one take off also gives you a different sort of confidence that I didn't know maybe I needed. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think that's why I feel comfortable letting it go.
Yeah.
Because it happened and I'm like, what if I can make it happen again? And I feel confident that I can do that. And now yeah. I've had so many learnings from the Rules of 30 from like, again, how to build a social media account, how to connect with people, you know, how to story tell was just like so important. I think that the Rules of 30 also took off. I would also say too, not just because of the topic, but because it was effective storytelling. Mm-hmm. Like I knew how to articulate my thoughts, my feelings. And I wasn't afraid of sharing too. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I could do it in a way that was like vulnerable, but also, powerful for people to listen to and yeah. feel maybe inspired to take action in their lives. And so all of those things really made me realize like, wow, I feel really powerful. I really feel really powerful as a woman in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to lead and I don't know what that looks like next, mm-hmm. but I know that at some point in my life, leadership is something that I'm very much looking forward to and will start carving a path towards. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love the confidence and just like the bravery too of walking away from something so incredible that you've created, but knowing that you can do it again.
Yes.
It's like, again, kind of like inherent in who you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also wanted to ask about this concept of like identity and taking on the title of writer or content creator or, you know, founder, entrepreneur. Do those, any of those titles like resonate with you? Do you claim them? And if so, like, what is it like to do that?
Yeah, oh my gosh, I feel like if I ever had, it's funny. I was like, applying to a job the other day and I was like, how do I sum up my career? Cause it feels like I've had so many different jobs and just so many different lives in a sense.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't necessarily say I identify as anything. I don't know that if I have an identity yet. And I actually think that's the most exciting part that I yeah. feel like I've lived like all these lives, like a cat, like a cat has nine lives in a sense. You know, I think the ultimate goal is whether it's like leader or founder or entrepreneur, I think that would be the ultimate goal. But I also don't quite know what the future has in store for me. But I do like the fact that I've tried a lot of things
yeah.
and that I could say that, again, I think it goes back to I'm more inspired by the journey. I think that that like having so many titles has been really inspiring for me mm-hmm. versus like being identifying with one title.
Yeah. 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 You're open to like where you might go and the right. fact that like you're not one thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that like there's like a phrase, you can make plans and like God laughs at your plans.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And I think as I've gotten older, I've started to really trust that. I can say I want to do this and that and I'd like to be here in 5 years and 10 years and I want to retire early or whatever it might be. And I don't know what the future has in store. And I think that's actually so exciting. But
yeah.
all I can trust is that like if I keep taking steps forward, the path will reveal itself. Mm-hmm. I just know that. But I don't know what the end of the path looks like. Mm-hmm. And I'm not kind of scared of it or fearing it or think that it won't work out mm-hmm. because history hasn't proven that. Like mm-hmm. history's proven otherwise that like if I just keep going, all of these exciting opportunities will present themselves and reveal themselves. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I would have never predicted if you would have told me at 22 when I was starting or whatever, 20, when I was starting my blog about Peter Pan and not growing up, that if like 10 years later, almost, I would have started an Instagram account about women in their 30s. Like I would have never foreseen that.
Yeah.
Even the jobs I've had, you know, I would have never, if you would have told me at, you know, 18, when I really wanted to write, that I would be working in tech today, you know, I would have never foreseen that.
Right.
So I just think that the beauty of life is that you really can't predict those things.
Yeah.
And I think that's so exciting. Like, I don't know what the world will look like 10 years from now. I don't know who I will be 10 years from now.
Yeah.
So I don't kind of want to be labeled yet.
Mm-hmm.
Not yet. I think I'm still trying to like find my own footing. And I think finding your footing is really special. I think if we stopped, and you know, you can think about it too, in the rules of 30 is like, we're all like, I created a reel that was like, we're so obsessed with like figuring it out.
Yeah.
With like having our lives figured out. Right. And it's like, what does that even mean?
Yeah.
Like, and right. Who says that we have to figure it out by a certain age? I think the beauty of life is like, you have so many different seasons.
Yeah.
And like, if I don't actually want it figured out, like that sounds boring to me.
Right.
In a sense, it sounds like it's just at the end.
Yeah.
And like, again, that's not to say by a certain point in my life, I don't want some, maybe, you know, stability or just like more grounded,
mm-hmm.
Not always trying and getting back up. But, again, I just think life is also about, you know, very beautiful seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know if I'm ready yet to be labeled. I think that there's so many more labels to come. Mm-hmm. And I also think too, it's like 10 years from now, I think I will maybe create my own like special label for myself.
Yeah.
Like a, you know, a culmination of everything I've done and come up with a new name for who I am. And it's not founder or CEO or leader. It could be that, but it could be like, I don't know, some weird nickname I come up with and I coin. And
yeah,
that's what it is when you've had different jobs and different opportunities and you've tried tons of different projects.
Yeah.
Like this, that's who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. What a great answer. So much wisdom in that. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah. There's a lot of learning in there. And especially like, I think what resonates with me too is you're like, just keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. You don't need to know the final destination, the final outcome, but like truly is the journey and, yeah. And just forcing yourself to keep moving.
Yeah.
Wow. A lot to take away there. So I guess to wrap up, I'll just ask, like, what would you leave any listeners with who are starting off and, you know, at the very beginning of creating something?
I think it really goes back to the man in the arena, in a sense. I think when you're, you know, you're fearful of putting something out there or being perceived a certain way, it's like, would you rather be perceived or just, like, reach the end of your life and like, you know, have this like, I don't know, gnawing, nagging feeling that like, I should have done this.
Yeah.
I think like when I think about the end of my life and like, which is very morbid, but I actually do think about like dying sometimes because yeah. I'm like, if I'm on my deathbed and you know, I'm lucky enough to be on a deathbed and it's not just something that happens abruptly, but like
right.
I'm on my deathbed. How do I want to feel?
Yeah.
And I want to feel like I like took full advantage of life. It's going to make me tear up.
Yeah.
But I want to feel like I took full advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I didn't leave anything. And not in a way that like, I'm trying to take advantage of the world. That's not it. It's just like, I want to know that I lived fully.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did everything I could. And I put out every ounce of energy I could into anything I was doing. Relationships, career, love, family, whatever it is, places I've visited, places I've been in, you know, things like that, you know, people I've met. Like I want to feel like I took full advantage. If you think about the end that way, it will influence so much of how you live in the present.
Yeah.
And so if you live your life, like whatever I'm doing, I'm going to put in 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter if it doesn't work out. I'm mm-hmm. just going to keep going, keep putting myself out there. Like you will be rewarded. I just mm-hmm. like it's, and it's hard to think about it in the moment, but I just think, again, it goes back to like the laws of the universe. Like you put out good stuff and you will get good stuff back. I just mm-hmm. fully believe in that. And maybe it's very childish or too optimistic or not realistic enough. But for me, like, I feel like I'd rather live life being a little naive
mm-hmm.
and a little too optimistic and not as realist and just heading into things like a bull, in a sense. Like my mom always says, She's like, sometimes like you can be a bit impulsive when you try things, you know, even with the rules of 30, like I bought all this stuff when I was like, you know, trying out the diving rules of 30, in. Just yeah. diving in. Yeah. And it's really how I led a lot of my projects, yeah. you know, I bought all this equipment, I bought all these courses, and now the rules of 30, you know, I've kind of left it behind in a sense. And that was money invested in it, right? Mm-hmm. That I won't get back. But I'd rather go into things like impulsive. Yeah. I'd rather go into things yeah. optimistic, you know, being excited about it, because I always think about the end of my life in that deathbed. Like, I just have this very real fear that I don't want to end up there and say to myself, oh, I didn't take full advantage of what, this life that was given to me. Mm-hmm. And I think it really just influences like how I live today. And, yeah. and, so it's, again, it's a little morbid in a sense, but it really helps reframe how I approach things in life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it that way, you're like, what do I have to lose?
Right.
Like truly.
Yeah.
What do I have to lose?
Yeah. Why am I waiting?
Why am I waiting? Yeah.
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 Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much, Amanda. I feel so grateful to have you as a friend and
likewise,
for you Jenna. To share this with everyone. So thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoyed my conversation with Amanda Pena. Let me know what you thought of it and what lessons you took away by leaving a comment on the Lessons in Creativity Instagram page. Thanks so much, and stay tuned for more lessons.